Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So again, the reality is no surprise on the Rittenhouse decision, not at least not on my side of this. Very predictable, because this is what happens in these cases. Especially with a kid that looked like that, and I don't know why I keep doing that. I keep calling him a kid. This is a man. Why he gets that, I'm not sure. And the weird thing is the judge, and this got some attention on Wednesday when the judge allowed him to pull the jurors' names from the Tumblr, because the judge feels that you empower the defendant. I'm not quite sure why, and I gotta wonder if there's any. I would like someone to go back and look at this judge's past and how many people he's done this for and who he's done it for. Or if this was just a, hey, someone's watching, let's pull a stunt. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the trial, the outcome, and where we go from here, I've asked our good friend Kari Pendebaker to come talk with us. Kari is a gun violence survivor and also treasurer of the DNC's Black Caucus. Kari, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, brother. It's been a minute. Good to be back on.
Let's start with surprised.
No, I'm a black man in America. I'm not surprised. I would have actually been surprised had that murderer been found guilty.
Now there are those who say that, well, he was under duress. He was acting in self-defense. I view it as he should have never been there. He should have never gone to Kenosha. He should have never, gone in with the intention of stopping violence with violence. I'm curious your thought.
No, I think he was guilty. And I think he came here with the express intent of engaging in violent activity. I mean, the video that was taken a few weeks before he actually murdered two people, where he was across the street from a convenience store saying, I wish I had my AR-15 so I could shoot bullets at these people from across the street. He wanted to shoot people, right? He was prepared to murder. He wanted to do this. And that's the thing, when we empower people like this and tell them that they are doing the right thing when they clearly are not, this is something that's going to happen again. And I think, number one, he was not legally allowed to hold the gun that he used to murder two people with. He came into a different state, tried to protect property he did not own, that he was not asked by the owner to protect, and then shot and killed two people. How is this going on in our country? But I think the bigger point beyond that is that it is clear that the justice system worked as it was designed to work. Not as it should have, but as it was designed to work. That judge did everything he could to make sure that murderer got off, and that's exactly what happened.
See, I'm of the mindset, and this is where maybe we will disagree a little bit. I think the judge should do everything in their power to ensure the defendant gets the best possible situation. It's the prosecution's job to make their case and to be held to a higher standard. My problem with it, and where we'll probably agree, is that is not equally applied across the board to everyone.
Oh, I mean, I think as you qualify the question, we do disagree in part of that. The beginning, though, I think the premise is wrong. The judge is not supposed to make sure that the defendant gets the best opportunity. The judge is supposed to make sure that the defendant gets the most impartial opportunity to have an application of justice be applied to whatever side it's going to be on. Lady Justice is blind for a reason, right? The judge should not be having an accused murderer standing behind him unshackled. A judge in a murder case should not be singing. A judge in a murder case that is a result of a protest, as a result of a black man being shot in the back seven times, should not be calling one of the a juror a black or the black. Right. So, I mean, there are so many things in this that tell you this was not an impartial application of justice.
No,
that is a real problem.
No, I don't disagree with you. This judge there was a lot there, including his spending so much time and effort worried about what CNN was saying,
right?
And having to respond to media reports. I mean, it was kind of bizarre. It really was.
Very bizarre. I mean, the guy is not—he's not been really like challenged or anything like that. Like, what, I think the last 27 years or something like that. But it's time for people like him to go, right? Like, this is not a application of justice to the point where you can say, okay, he got off, but this was done fairly. It clearly was not. There was an obvious and real glaring bias to make sure that this murderer got off scot-free. And that judge could not have done a better job of showing his hand that he was in favor of letting this murderer go free.
No, I mean, the thing that you're right, I gotta wonder if there is any footage anywhere of him sitting with the accused behind him without being shackled of a black man or someone other than a white guy. I just... You're right on that, Frank.
I've watched several lawyer TikTok videos about this, and all of them say they've never seen a judge behave that way, not just in his rhetoric, but allowing a defendant in a murder trial, right, to stand behind them unshackled like that. They've never seen that. I mean, think about it, put it in this kind of context. Think about the murder of Trayvon Martin, right? Trayvon was put on trial and didn't have a fair trial for himself. Think about the cops in Kenosha who let this murderer walk by after the murderer said, "I killed two people." The guy still has the gun in his hand. The kid, guy, whatever you want to call him, right? Think about that in contrast to John Crawford. John Crawford had an AR-style airsoft rifle in a Walmart in Ohio where open carry is allowed, and it was in the store that sold it. He was shot and killed on sight. Tamir Rice was 12 years old with an airsoft handgun in a park in Ohio that allows open carry, shot and killed on sight. This guy, white, can walk by police, tell them he killed two people, and it's like, "Oh, dude, you're good. Come on."
Yeah, there's no argument to be made there. So the question now comes to this other place, Curry. Where do we go from here? Now this jury, clearly they're not setting societal norms, but this is going to be heard by the hero complex crowd and the gun fetishists and the folks who have imagined themselves going to these protests and doing these horrible things. Is this the new normal now?
Honestly, I know as a as a party official and a party leader and all that, I'm supposed to give you, these words, like these happy words and uplifting things. I don't have that for you.
I don't want happy words. I want to know if this is the new normal. I want to know the next time I go to a protest, do I need a gun? Right.
No, dude, I'm intentionally staying home tonight. I'm inside my house tonight because I'm afraid. I'm black. And I can't change that. And I gotta worry about the cops and these now deputized white men with guns who think they are sent by God to protect a car dealership. A car dealership. Property can be replaced. Human beings cannot be. These are the same people who will tell you how pro-life they are. That tells me that my life, not just my black life, but my life, period, does not matter to them at all. I don't want them to protect me. I don't want them to protect my property. I don't want them to be in my city, my state, or my country. I would like for them to leave. They make it more dangerous for the rest of us. We can't use our First Amendment right. The First Amendment comes before the Second Amendment does. Right? We have the right to tell people what we are angry about and then go protest about it and explain why we're upset that a black man, an unarmed black man, is shot 7 times in his back. Of course, people are going to be angry.
But they're going to say,
"We can get more cars. We can get more buildings. We can get more gas stations. So what? They burned down. A human being's life is either ended or ruined That man is crippled now. He's handicapped. Can't walk anymore. Don't people can, they can go buy more cars. They can build more buildings. They have insurance. This man can't walk again. But now you got this vigilante wannabe who's been brainwashed by the right-wing folks, including his mother, to tell him you should want to go do this and carry a gun that you don't even legally have the right to own and go defend property. I mean,
that isn't
if
yours.
This doesn't tell you how sick this country is, I don't know what else will.
No, I mean, because I said at the beginning, I don't know when rioting became a capital offense. And look, you know, I don't know when breaking a window became a capital offense, but yet my Twitter feed is full of trolls saying, you know what? He was just defending property and justifying two people dying because of windows that they didn't break or whatever was going on. It's a very scary moment for I think the country, but for you in particular, Curry, and for people like you.
It absolutely is. I mean, while this murderer killed two white people, sure, but those white people were there in protest of what happened to a man of color, right? When you have a society that is divided somehow along these lines, these tribal lines that tell you that police brutality, violence, and murder is simply okay, and we back the badge or you don't back the badge, like that dichotomy isn't real. What really is going on here, you have a group of people who want to use the force of the government against people they don't like. That's all that is.
Yeah.
But when the police or the FBI or the Sheriff's Department or the Capitol Police are coming down on those on the other side, then this is tyranny and blah, blah, blah. But when they're shooting and killing men of color and women of color, then it's like, oh, well, you should have complied. Right?
No, you're not wrong.
I wish the murderer that shot and killed two people in Kenosha would have complied with the law and not had that AR-15. He did not comply.
So let me ask
you
this.
He lived to walk away.
Madison Cawthorn today, after hearing the verdict, offered Kyle Rittenhouse an internship and told his followers that Rittenhouse isn't guilty. Be armed, be dangerous, be moral. When you hear that, what does that mean to you?
That means that's not even, like, normally we would say stuff like it's coded language or it's a dog whistle. They don't even do that anymore. That's a megaphone. They're calling for violence. If they're telling you to be dangerous and then following up by saying being moral, that is telling them that their danger and their violence is morally okay so long as it's directed at us. That's what they're saying, right? I mean, that is the overall danger to people who look like me, who are on the left, right? Just because we might believe in different political ideologies does not mean I have the right to die. I should not have to die because you disagree with me. That's what he is saying, though, that it is okay to arm yourself and shoot someone and then pretend that you have the moral authority to do so. That language is the same language that was used to make it okay for slavery to exist in this country. It was morally okay to do. That's the kind of language he's using.
So the question now becomes, you know, the aftermath of this, we know where this is going to lead. Is there politically anything that can be done? Do you see any way forward?
I'm not sure, honestly, because of how politically divided we are. But I don't even think it should not be a political thing, right? It shouldn't be like that, but it is.
Do we see another Stone Mountain moment? Is this where this is going to lead to, where we're arming up in the streets and marching against each other with my guns bigger than yours? Is that our future?
That's what they want. They want us to be in a civil war. They want us to go to a place where we are going to be fighting against each other. But that cannot be the case. We cannot let them win. That simply cannot be the solution, because that's what they want. They literally, I mean, there are people who are calling for a second civil war. These are the same people who proclaim to be patriots. They'll tell you how much they love America, but are celebrating traitors. And they want to repeat the same traitors' acts that those folks engaged in. It is mind-boggling that this is happening in what is so-called the greatest country in the world.
So tonight you have no hope that this gets better, is what you're saying.
I look at that the same way I look at what I thought the outcome of this case was going to be. I knew it was going to be a not guilty case, a not guilty verdict, although I had hoped justice would prevail. It did not. Now, what comes from the result of this hyper-polarization and politicization of everything, this like undying need to be outraged all the time, I'm not sure. This is not sustainable, not at all. I mean, you got people pissed off at Big Bird and stupid things. And then things like this happen. It's like if you were perpetually outraged, like when something real actually happens, what do you do?
Now, let me ask you this.
I don't believe the people who are in charge right now have the mental capacity, especially those on the right, have the mental capacity to actually do the governing and have the best interest of people at heart rather than wanting to get retweets and likes on Facebook. I just don't think we're just in a bad place right now.
No, you're right. And look, I've had a bunch of people, you know, because the right is all about getting the libtards, you know, getting them all enraged. And I had a bunch of people coming at me going, well, how mad are you? And I'm going, I'm not mad. I'm concerned.
Right?
I'm worried. I'm in a place where, is this the new normal? I don't know that I'm mad. I'm concerned.
Right. I'm very concerned. I mean, again, I'm black, you know. I did not want to go outside right now. Tonight. They are putting America in a position where some of this may not be recoverable. Some of this we may get to a point where we get to a point of no return.
And sadly, like I fear
we may go too far.
Sadly, I fear this is where we are, Curry. That's the scary part you're on. I appreciate you taking some time. Stay safe. I'd love to talk to you again down the road.
All right, brother. It was a pleasure being on again.
Good stuff. You know, sad day. I mean, this is where we are. Let's take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.